So last week, I'm going to talk this morning about honor rather than flattery. Last week, Andre touched on honor. So I just want to start where Andre left off and just give you guys a bit of a refresher before I get started. So I'll just go through a few points that I took down from Andre's preach, which will then tie into mine. So honor. So God wants the best for us. He wants us to respond. It will not go well with you if you resist God. Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. I think as a people, we always feel like we need to have the last say and we're always right. And we have to win the fight to feel like there was a successful outcome, I guess, in an argument. But what Andre brought last week was that avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. So don't feel weak if you've avoided a fight, like someone's had the last word and you're like, oh, you know, I really wanted to have my say. But sometimes avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. If you don't have anything good to say to someone, don't say it. We all know that very well. I think we get taught that from a very young age. Applying it is another thing altogether. Run for dear life from evil. I like that one. Stop faking it. If you don't like someone, ask God to help you see the good in them. Church leaders, make up your mind to honor God. Honor authority because God gives authority. Honor your parents, or it will not work out for you. If there is anything that needs fixing, fix it. Cursed is the one who dishonors their parents. Keep close to God. Do not dishonor people by highlighting their faults. Don't put yourself above other people. Just because you earn more than someone doesn't make you a better person. Just because you have a bigger house doesn't make you a better person. And then lastly, don't maximize the bad people do, but maximize the good that they do. So that's just a small refresher on what Andre brought last week. This morning's message isn't going to be very easy message, going to be quite a hard pill to swallow for, I'd say, all of us. Because this morning, I'm not going to flatter you. In fact, I'm going to let God's word speak for itself, because we have enough false teachers out there, whether it's in another church or online, that are bringing a watered-down gospel. And you might ask, well, how do they do that? Well, what happens is a false teacher will reduce the gospel to a self-improvement plan focused on me and my struggles and my desires and my wants and my this and my that, rather than the truth and nothing but the truth that points to Jesus. So what is flattery? The biblical definition of flattery is for the purpose of gaining favor and influence or to accomplish some sort of purpose. I'll read that again. Flattery is false praise for the purpose of gaining favor and influence or to accomplish some purpose. We love flattery. I mean, who doesn't want to hear how awesome they are? But Proverbs 29:5 says, flattery is a trap. It says, to flatter friends is to lay a trap at their feet. So what is the opposite to flattery then? The opposite to flattery is criticism, which is a word I kind of, while I've been putting this together, it's a word I've kind of grown to like. Not the word criticism itself, but constructive criticism. We live in a world where you have to tippy-toe around people's feelings. You have to tippy-toe around people's beliefs. And I hate to break it to you guys, but your feelings don't determine your final destination. So, he has two words for you to leave with today. Constructive criticism. Get used to it. As a family of believers, constructive criticism is something that's going to help you to grow. It's something that's going to help build you up. Proverbs 15:31-32. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof would dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. I'll read it again. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. And if you ignore instruction, you despise yourself. But he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Now the Holy Spirit gave me this analogy and I was like, wow, you guys are going to laugh when you hear this. Because it's, if there's any mechanics in the room, you'll probably appreciate it, Barry. Everybody needs a trusty mechanic. Now, Holy Spirit, help me, because this was your analogy. I've been trying to practice this analogy as I was putting this preach together. It wasn't coming together very well, but I thought, you know what, if you want me to bring it, I'll ride with it. So, picture yourself as a car. So, you're a vehicle, okay? Now, you can be whatever car you fancy. You can be a Bentley, you can be a Porsche, be whatever car you want to be. And you've got a trusty mechanic. Can everyone hear me? Am I holding the mic close enough? And you've got a trusty mechanic. So you and your trusty mechanic, you go visit a friend. You go visit Andre and Maureen. You go for dinner. And then you leave early, but your trusty mechanic stays behind. And eventually your trusty mechanic leaves. And as he's leaving, he sees a nice big oil mark on Andre's driveway. So your trusty mechanic's driving home, picks up the phone and says, hey, mate, how are you going? Yeah, no, everything's all good. Oh, how are you running lately? You running okay? Like, no issues? Or you getting your services regularly? Yeah. Okay, that's funny because notice there's a massive oil leak on Andre's driveway. And that trusty mechanic is the person that is going to tell you the hard things that you don't want to hear all the time. Like, you've just left a massive stain on Andre's driveway. What are you doing about that? And then I went to go visit Pete and Aaron. And I see you were there recently, and there's a massive stain on their driveway as well. So can I help you to fix this thing? Let's fix this slow oil leak before you start to have engine problems. Because something that's so small can lead to something very big if we don't have a trusty mechanic that can love us enough to tell us that we're leaving stains everywhere. Proverbs 11:14 backs it up by saying, where there is no guidance, a people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. I love the book of Proverbs. It's full of all this juicy information, so much of it that it's hard to contain it all. But can I encourage you to find a trusty mechanic? And if you've got one of those trusty mechanics that are so busy servicing a whole lot of cars, bug them. Get on their case. It's not that they don't want to come and service your vehicle. They may just have a lot on their plate. Bug them. Get on the phone. Call them up. I need a service. Let's have a chat. Proverbs 19:27 says, cease to hear instructions, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Man, us Christians get offended far too easily. Some of us have trusty mechanics, but we don't want to always hear that there's an oil leak or that you have to go and spend some money to get something fixed. Did you hear what he said? Did you see what he did? Can you believe he said that to me? A trusty mechanic will tell you things that you really need to hear, family, and it's not always going to make you feel good. It's probably going to make you feel worse, to be honest. But I would much rather someone point out something to me that I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea that it's leaving stains everywhere. But if it's going to help me grow as a people, we need to receive this with open hearts. And I'll touch on that a bit later again. Don't get offended. Embrace constructive criticism. 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 to 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So God's encouraging us to share our burdens with one another. He's not asking us to harbor it. He's telling us to share it with one another. Far too often, as Christians, we are led by our feelings and our emotions. Somebody loves us enough to call out something in our lives, and instead of responding, we throw our toys out the cot. "I'm leaving the church." I've heard that one before. Jesus, in Mark 3:25, he casts out a demon. And then everyone gets all riled up and says, "Oh, he's the devil himself casting out devils." Jesus says something very interesting. He says, "Every city," and this is Mark 3:25, "every city or house divided against itself will not stand." And I think we can apply that to us as a family in this church. We'll focus on our church this morning. If we're going to be a family of believers that are divided against ourselves, how on earth can we grow as a church? Something to think about. As a family, there's going to be times where there's going to be a bit of an altercation. There's going to be times where people don't always act the way we want them to act. But everyone's got their issues. Everyone's got their weaknesses and their faults. It doesn't mean because you've got a fault with my dad, George, that you don't have your own fault. Or maybe Vessel's got something against Mac, for example. That doesn't mean because Vessel's got something against Mac, that, and I'll use them as an example because I know they can take this one, and it's not true, it's just an example. That doesn't mean there's no fault in Vessel's life. Vessel's got faults of his own. But it's up to Vessel to go to Mac and say, "Hey, listen, I don't like the way you do this. When you come to my house, you've come straight from work, you bring mud into my house, and my wife's got..." Mac works in an office, by the way. "Or Barry comes home from work and he goes to visit Mark for dinner and he brings a whole bunch of mud into the house and oil and whatever he's been working with for the day. And it's like Mark going behind Barry's back and saying, 'Oh, can you believe Barry did that?'" Start to divide the church. What we need to do is go straight to the source, address the issue, and move on. It's as simple as that. Let's not be divided against ourselves. And like it or not, in this church, we are all a family. We are a family of believers adopted into God's family. Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, "God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." So God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. So we've all been adopted into the family of Christ, which is a great thing. So the person you speak sitting next to this morning is a family member. And like I said earlier, we all know families have their moments, don't they? If you've got siblings, you'll know what I'm talking about. So, what does the Bible say about family? Bear with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So if you've got a burden against someone, don't be fake and flatter them and say, hey, how you going? How you doing? So cool to see you this morning. But there's an issue inside that needs to be addressed. But we don't go there because it's difficult, it's hard, it's uncomfortable, we don't like it. But we're a family. This is a safe place. We need to show the world the example of how we do things. We don't act the way the world acts. The world will keep a grudge. The world will flatter people. But we're the church. We need to set the example for people outside the church. So let's do that. If there's someone here today that has something against someone for something silly that they did, can I encourage you? Go and make things right with them. Don't carry that baggage. Jesus died so you can walk free, so you don't have to carry any baggage. Don't choose to carry baggage for the sake of carrying baggage. Just go make things right. It's not going to be easy. It's far easier said than done, but can I encourage you to do it? Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. If you aren't living in unity with someone, like I just said, don't fake it and say nice things to them with resentment in your heart. Bring it up with them and settle the matter. Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, and this is a big one, so is everybody listening? For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And that's where a lot of people stop. But if you read on, it says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Is everyone awake this morning? That's huge. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive other people of their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's Matthew 6, verse 14 to 15, if you want to look it up. So I've kept this short for a reason, because I want us to sit and reflect. And I want us to be set free this morning. I don't want to bring a word that's going to encourage you. I hope this is encouraging, don't get me wrong. But I didn't want to bring a word this morning that is just going to make you hear what you want to hear. I want to give you some food for thought this morning. So let's be a people who are doers of the word. And I'll close with this last scripture, and then we'll go into worship and just reflect on what I've said this morning. Let's be a people who are doers of the word. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Now, this is a scripture that I pulled from somewhere, but I haven't written down the scripture, so forgive me. You can come and get it from me afterwards. I'll find it for you. But Somewhere in God's word it says, don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. This is from the Message. I can remember that much. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act like those who glance in the mirror walk away and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. So can I encourage you to take what I've said this morning and be doers of the word? And if you've got some sort of beef with someone that's really like difficult to kind of bring up and perhaps you don't have the words, spend some time in prayer. Get someone alongside you. Get a trusty mechanic. How do I do this thing? How can I make this? How can I bring this peace offering? How can I be part of this family and live in unity rather than divide against the family?